Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronnie Zoom. Baby, we got to get you onto those Zoom calls. You're no longer Zooming around the country through the air. You're Zooming around the country via the internet on your Zoom life. Speaking of Pipe, our boy's making money moves. He's using COVID-19 to line up some money moves, and I love it. Baby, can we talk about the new movie podcast, like the Zoom podcast? I don't even know what we're calling this thing.
The Magnificent Seven? Is that what you're talking about?
Tell me all about it, because baby, listen to me. I don't know anybody on this roster besides you and Pipe and at Jersey, who I only know by like association, because you guys were best man in each other's wedding.
You know him by not getting emails from him.
Yes, exactly. I know him via the email exchanges we've had that have been rich.
And not
tell me about the new show, baby.
All right. So I can only give away so much info because we're still kind of putting it together. But we want to do this thing where we're calling it the Magnificent Seven, where we're getting seven of us together, you know, on a Zoom. We're going to sort of we're just going to riff on things like movies, maybe books, maybe music, maybe sermons, things of that nature. And we're going to try to drop one of these things next week on a particular movie that all of us watched. And then we'll Zoom it, we'll record it, and then we'll release it. It'll just be something fun to watch, you know, as you have all this downtime. So
nice, baby. Now, walk me through, like, whose idea was this?
Well, I kind of stole the idea from Karen Swallow Pryor, who kind of did something similar with a, believe it or not, with our my favorite and your favorite, Terry Malick. And his recent movie.
What so a I thought, lovely well, man.
What a lovely man with a lovely name who makes a lot of lovely movies. And so I just thought, hey, let's do our own version of that. Maybe make it a little more, you know, lighthearted. And let's do something like a movie that's a little more lighthearted.
Movies that people enjoy watching is what you're getting at. That's what we're going to try to do with this.
And then obviously, you know, we've been wanting to involve Jared C. for a while in something. And since we don't do outside guests on the
Rams. Yeah, because he's not very busy. Yeah. I mean, that poor guy's just sitting around.
He literally has not a thing to do right now.
Yeah. So,
I'm curious how many books he's going to write just during quarantine. Like, he writes a book a month just for kicks and giggles. I'm wondering if he's going to do, like, 17 books while trapped in his basement office.
I think he'll just have time to finish the ones he already has like eight deals for, Pipe.
Well, I know what he's not writing. Emails to me. Son of a... Now, give me the scouting reports. Okay, I want a couple of sentences of scouting report on each person on this roster, because I don't know who these people are. I don't
Well, hold on. We haven't nailed them all down yet, so I don't want to go pub with it yet.
Okay.
We definitely know we have Jared C. on the roster. Yeah. And so we're still working out some of the other guests.
Jared C. said yes as you were just like working his traps the other night a little bit.
Absolutely, you know, man. We were chatting. Yeah. We were hanging out and, you know, doing a little like Zoom baking with the wives online.
Oh, wow. And,
that's so cute. Know,
what a time. You guys are adorable.
It was delicious, too.
Together Christmas cards this year? You and the Wilsons?
Christmas posters.
Yeah, all in the same white t-shirt on the beach.
Boys, 100. Khakis. It's happening. It's all there.
Dude, okay, let me give you a scenario. All right.
Easy on the khakis, though, baby. You know who you're talking to.
No. This scenario involves khakis. Mm-mm. You stylish son of a bee. Okay.
Dude, T's angry, Pipe.
Dude, no, I'm not angry.
Coming in spicy.
He's so
today.
Bored. He's so bored.
No, listen.
Coming out.
This is the scenario, okay? So Jared Zooms you this afternoon. I know you're noon. I know your 12 o'clock Zoom is with the Wilsons, the Jared and the Mrs. there. So if they Zoom you and they're like, Ronald, listen to me. Here's the deal. Our Christmas card, we're doing a joint Christmas card this year. It's you and Melissa and me and whatever Jared's wife is called. On the beach, in khakis, and a white t-shirt. And you're bristling at this inside. You're going, I'm Ronald J. Martin, doggone it. I don't wear khakis.
I don't do khakis.
But listen to me. If the deal is, if you agree to this with the khakis and the white t-shirt on the beach, I'll give you the plenary session that you've always wanted, okay? So you get a main stager, but you have to appear in khakis and a white t-shirt on Jared's Christmas card.
Oh, if only Jared had the power to do that. to grant me a plenary.
Jared knows people. He's a power guy. He knows these people. Are you doing it? Is the answer
you're doing a hypothetical?
I'm doing a hypothetical. Yeah.
So hold on. So a Christmas card wearing khakis and white tees with Jared C and the missus for a Christmas card, and I get the plenary at some conference that's probably going to get canceled. Is that
you get the plenary that you've always wanted? Yeah. That's the scenario. What are you saying? And they're baggy khakis too. They're baggy, rumpled.
They have a hammer loop on the side.
Hammer loop.
Next, you're going to say they're cargo pants, man.
These are carpenter khakis. We're not crazy here. No cargos, just carpenter.
They're carpenter khakis.
Boys, you put me in a real vulnerable situation here. I'm going to have to think.
You're a nice, clean cut Christian man, Christian family man, in khakis.
I'm all grown up.
You're grown up, and you're grown up, and you're grown up.
I'm going to have to think about this. Give me to the end of the program.
Think about it. I'm going to check in with you at the end of the Piper.
You've given me a lot, man.
I've given you so much to think about. Piper, tell us about our sponsors.
Nice shift. That was a beautiful transition.
Yeah, seriously, caught me off guard.
Wow.
Dude, everything's all jagged for me today.
It is all jagged. Hold on. Let's go. Before you hit the sponsors, Pipe, what's going on, T? You
I don't know.
Dude, you are just on a tear right now, man.
Dude, I'm on a tear. I'm on a rampage. Quarantine rampage.
You're truly living up to the name of our podcast, man.
Baby, listen, I'm going to try to smooth it out, though. Okay? I'm going to try to be a pro.
Unhappy rant.
I'm going to be a radio pro this morning, and I'm going to smooth it out.
All right. Okay?
Piper, let's do some business.
Your tone was better. Your transition was just as abrupt, but we'll go with it. Yeah. So we've got two sponsors. The first is InterVarsity Press with the book Our Good Crisis by Jonathan Dodson. The subtitle is Overcoming Moral Chaos with the Beatitudes. It's a pastoral reflection on how the Beatitudes adjust our hearts and our thinking in the midst of moral confusion and anxiety and the worries of the day. So just a very Christ-centered look at how to sort through those things using the words of Jesus. Dodson and his crew at Gospel Centered Discipleship have done some stuff with the Happy Rant in the past, a past sponsorship. Ronnie's done some stuff for them. I've done some stuff for them. Ted, have you ever done any writing and or webinaring for Gospel Centered Discipleship?
I don't think so. Okay. That doesn't ring a bell, but maybe.
I mean, when you've written as much as you have, it's hard to keep track. So I understand.
Not as much as Jared. See, I'm not writing 17 books in my basement like this guy is.
Yeah, being prolific, it's just you lose track of what you do. So Jonathan Dodson is the author. The book is Our Good Crisis, Overcoming Moral Chaos with the Beatitudes. It's available now. I would say order from Amazon, but they're delaying all shipments on anything that's non-essential these days. So order from christianbook.com. Check out there's a website called 10 of These. There is, you know, if you have local Christian bookstores, order through them. It's a good time to support anybody who's not Amazon, since they're not supporting you these days. Our second sponsor is Dwell Bible App.
There goes that Amazon sponsorship.
I know that's out down the tubes.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos is never going to call me, but he's going to be like Jared C. He's not going to return my emails anymore.
Yeah seriously. It's done.
Poor Bezos. How's he ever surviving? He's like Scrooge McDuck, just doing backflips into his piles of money. So I don't feel super bad for him. Second sponsor is Dwell Bible App. It's an audio Bible app for any mobile device. Great for listening plans, memorization, getting ready to study, just having on as sort of an uplifting, encouraging thing in the background as you go about your life. They have multiple readers. They have musical backgrounds. They have a whole bunch of different things that make it a more of an experience than just a straight line reading of the text. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can get a 33% discount off of the subscription. So they can do monthly, they can do annual subscriptions or they can do lifetime subscriptions, and you get the 33% discount off of either. It comes out to less than $2 a month with the subscription, so well worth it. Check out dwellapp.io/happyrant. Get your discount. Try it out. I think they're also doing a free trial right now. So if you go to their website, you can check that out just to see if you like it. They know that people are both more anxious and have some more time on their hands. At least some of you do. So it's a good time to try out something like this.
There it is. That's good business by you, Pipe, as always, even with my jagged transition into it. And speaking of big business, boys, speaking of huge business, want to talk about the personality business. I want to talk about a conversation about understanding different personality types other than our own, and kind of figuring out how other people think or feel or process and are motivated. So within the kind of like huge industry that has become Enneagram related stuff and just personality typologies, et cetera, how have you guys learned to understand different personality types, I guess, is the question. Like we tend to do these things and just fixate on our own type, and we see everything through the filter of ourselves. But Ronald, this quarantine has given you more time to think about personality stuff. What do you think about this? What are the most difficult personality types for you to connect with? Let's start there.
Man, that's a really good question. Yeah. Gosh, I think the one that's come to hit me the hardest in the last year or 2 years is sort of that very fear-driven personality. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's very, very suspicious mm-hmm. kind of personality mm-hmm. where it's like no matter what you do at some point, you're going to become a target to that person because they can't possibly imagine that you have their best interests in mind. Mm-hmm. And it's really a lot of their own fear stuff that they haven't worked through and mm-hmm. just kind of a fear that turns into a paralysis for them. Yeah. And it has to turn everybody else into the enemy as a mm-hmm. way for them to, you know, kind of hide behind their shame. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways it's going to sound like a bit of a book promo, but one of the ways that I've been able to learn more about this by this new Chuck DeGroat book, When Narcissism Comes to Church. Mm-hmm. And so this book has just been amazing. I started a couple days ago. I'm almost done with it.
Oh man, I thought that was like a biography of multiple megachurch pastors.
Well, I mean, it actually isn't. I mean, it really has like this total. I could see why you would think that, but like mm-hmm. it really ranges. So he kind of covers like a church staff scenario. So it's really diverse in how he describes these different personalities. But narcissism, according to DeGroat, is sort of the big, sort of undiscovered and dealt with thing that we see as that has been the result of a lot of these downfalls in these churches. And so I've kind of witnessed that. I've been kind mm-hmm. of in some ways a victim to that. And I probably have some of my own narcissistic tendencies that I'm learning about, that I'm learning to work through as well. And so I don't know, this has been really helpful, but I think it's that, what I just said, man, it's that very like paralyzing fear driven, personality type. And it's just, it's been really damaging to me for sure. But
dude, yeah. So I'm interested in this narcissism thing. Like what is he, and not having read the book, Piper, have you read it?
I haven't. No, I'd only seen like the cover of it, and it looks a lot like a National Geographic cover when you just see the mm-hmm. image. So I didn't know what I was looking at. So I'm glad Ronnie brought it up. I wasn't even aware that it was a kind of a book of significance.
Interesting. Like what's he calling narcissism? Because I think when we think about narcissism, we tend to think about like, I don't know, the Kardashians or some like big over the top, celebrity kind of manifestations of narcissism. But like, how does he see it manifest in a local church context?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, like, I can't go to his definition because I can't get to it, but it's basically, he talks about shame a lot. So he talks about sort of this undealt with shame that lies at the heart of most of us. Yeah. And some of us have just healthier ways of dealing with that and being aware of it. Mm-hmm. And then others that don't, that get put into leadership positions, it ends up being something that is masked in a church church context. We might look at a narcissistic leader and we might say, oh, but he's so gifted, or he's such a visionary leader, or he's just really following God's call, or he just demands, he just wants everything to be excellent. And so it gives a lot of these men and women excuses to lead in a way that at the end of the day, these are just people that have not dealt with the shame that has been really like sort of hidden in their own lives for years and years that needs to be dealt with, but is just coming out in all of these damaging ways for people on a church staff who are working underneath them. And we've seen it like with the big, like, so yeah, going back to what you said, Pipe, like these big mega falls by these dudes, we've seen that really express itself like in really dramatic and sort of public ways with some of these bigger guys over the last few years.
Well, yeah, when you were talking about seeing narcissism as, you know, kind of this thing for the Kardashians or these kind of crazy celebrities, I was like, that just sounds like a lot of these pastors to me. The more you find out, you know, and again, it's a small number of pastors who have made a lot of big news. But it sounds just like the insanity of the Kardashians in terms of the demands that are made, the me-firstness, the complete sort of out of touchness with anybody else's perspective, point of view, whatever. So I mean, there's a lot of parallels between like crazy Hollywood and crazy church.
Yeah, no, I think there are, Pipe, and that's I don't know what that's a function of, right? Maybe that's a function of our culture being too dialed into the Hollywood mindset, the kind of influencer mindset, et cetera. So I have a follow-up question for both of you guys on this. Do you think, like, given what you know about, you know, let's just say the Enneagram, do you think there's a typology that's best, like, suited for leadership? Because everybody thinks they're a leader. You know, it's kind of part and parcel with, like, the leadership industry to sort of make everybody feel like they're a leader. But do you think there's a typology or two that's most suited for it? Does that make sense?
I don't.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Pat.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Not. You know, just taking the Enneagram for example, there are traits of the different numbers that are more stereotypically like leadershipy in terms of driven or, you know, achieving or competitive. But again, those are also the ugly side of a lot of leadership. And then if you take, you know, you take an Enneagram 4, there's a great opportunity for creativity there, but also a great opportunity for like navel gazing pride and different things. All the numbers have a really ugly side to them. And that's the part of the Enneagram people ignore. We just like to talk about the things about us that make us unique and fail to look at the part that you're like, oh, that's the ugly side of me. And so I don't think one number is more suited to leadership than another. I think all the numbers are equally prone to the ugly side. So I'm, you know, you guys are both fours, I think. I'm an eight. And all of us have the capacity to be total disasters at, you know, as parents, as leaders, as husbands, as whatever. Like we have, and fours and eights are very different, but we can masterfully screw this thing up too.
Most definitely. Baby, do you have trouble like being a leader as a four? Like for me, I just have no interest in leading. You know what I mean? Like the idea of leading or power or like people following me is just, it's not a thing that I feel remotely interested in. So do you have trouble like gearing yourself up to be a leader as a four?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I mean, that's a really good question. I wouldn't say gear up. I think just as a four, I'm going to have a particular leadership style that is going to function well in certain areas and then not as well in other areas, right? Because I'm too individualist. So I'm going to have to recognize that working with a team that I'm a little more like of an individualist creator type. That can be a great thing if you're aware of that and then you empower other people, you know, to kind of run in the lanes that they've been gifted to run in. But you can become a little too self-serving if you're not careful. So that can be a massive challenge. But to what Pipe said, though, it's true. All of us, the thing that's great about the Enneagram, by the way, Chuck DeGroat, he's a massive Enneagram guy. So he kind of takes these narcissistic personalities and he applies them to every personality type on the Enneagram, which is really cool. So you kind of find yourself in there a little bit. And not everybody has narcissistic, you know, disorders either. But what's interesting is that to Pipe's comment, you know, we all have a percentage of each personality type. Some of us just have more or less. So I'm a four, but I got a ton of seven and eight in me. So when it comes to certain leadership, when it comes to certain kinds of leadership, like you'll see my eight just pinging, right? Or you'll see my seven just literally like hitting the red on some things. Now that's either going to be resourceful or in a non-resourceful way, depending on where I go, you know, when I'm doing well or not doing well. But I think, I think when we talk about leadership in general, there are certain personality types that you tend to see in the church world more than other types. So like you see a lot of threes or church planners because they get stuff done. and they're mm-hmm. super like, and they go after it. They're workaholics. They just mm-hmm. it's nonstop, just production. Right. And mm-hmm. you see a ton of eights. So you see yeah. a ton of eights and a ton of threes that are leading churches, that are planning churches. And yeah. that's kind of, so that there's a commonality, right, with that. And
dude, honestly, most of the pastors I know are eights.
A lot of eights.
A lot of eights, a lot of Winston Churchills.
In the Reformed world, you get a lot of ones and fives too.
That's true.
You know, yeah, that's true. A lot of people who, let's say, you know, the perfectionist type, so everything just so, because these are like the anti-church growth types. So the scholarly theologian, very particular about yeah. about doctrine and whatnot, and then also they lean more introverted, so they're going to be like, I preach on Sundays and then I hole up and study. So I think the more church planting, church growth, church network types, yeah, you get threes and eights. In the more doctrine driven environments, you get a lot of ones and fives.
Yeah, that's true, and they probably might still have a high percentage of eight in them, because they still might be like really kind of powerful leader types as well, but. Yeah. They do it behind their laptop and commentaries, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah, it's so interesting how like varied and diverse the whole thing is. But I think it's been helpful for me, just sort of in learning more about myself and then learning about, you know, more about others that I work with, so that my reaction to them isn't just, why are you doing this and why do you say this and why do you react this way, but it's like it helps me like understand a little bit more on why they think, why they do what they do. And so I kind of dig it a little bit.
So, well, you know what, Mike? Go ahead, Pipe. Go ahead.
I was going to say, following up on what Ronnie just said as a question, so it helps you understand different things about them. But Ted's original question was, what is the personality type or what types of personality? So not thinking Enneagram specifically, but just personality yeah. traits that you struggle yeah. to understand and connect with. Fear and anxiety are ones that I'm like, I don't know how to connect well with anxious people.
Yeah,
because I'm almost never anxious. And now that's a matter of pride for me, because I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just not that worried about stuff, which I don't think it's a choice. I think that's just sort of the way I'm wired. But yeah. So even understanding that somebody else is fear driven doesn't really help me understand them more, because I'm like, that's just understanding that they're speaking a different language than me. I don't understand their language. So yeah. how does it help you understand them if they're just dramatically different than you?
Well, I think what it does, I mean, that's a really good question, Pipe. I think what it does is it helps me not react unresourcefully out of my own fear toward them, right? So it helps me pause a little bit. It helps me be a little more compassionate. It helps me understand that they're dealing with things that maybe have been really hard for them to deal with, or they're really unaware of. And then at least it helps me with whatever tools that I'm still accumulating, you know, help talk about fear and anxiety and how that's affecting them and where we need to go when we're living lives that are just permeated by those things. And so if anything, it helps me to slow down, not freak out, be compassionate, and find ways that I can help them, you know, rather than just react to their fear with my own stuff or my own fear. So, I mean, that's just one thing, I think, for me. But.
Okay. Yeah. Like when I hear people who are anxious, and I don't mean like an anxiety, kind of a mental health sort of anxiety, but more kind of what you were describing, where they just function from a worst case scenario mindset, uh-huh. or a fear-based mindset. My initial reaction to that is always, well, that's just not true. Like, you right. are functioning from a position of believing things that are not true, and mm-hmm. which is not a great starting place for understanding somebody, because my initial stance towards them is, well, you're wrong, and mm-hmm. that doesn't lend itself to very fruitful conversation or working environment or you know, kind of coming to a place of what in a work environment, you know, cohesive decision making. In a friendship, you know, it's hard when you're just constantly looking at them and going, you are so full of it. So that, I think that's my biggest struggle with it, is just looking at them and going, that's not true.
Yeah. I think what it does is it helps you not be so black and white, and understand that there's something about our black and whiteness that's coming from a particular place. That's coming from a particular insecurity as well. And so I think learning to understand that too, it helps you slow your roll. Rather than just saying that's not true, you're saying, well, it's true for you for some particular reason, and maybe we can kind of get under the surface and unpack that a little bit. But,
so you're saying it's their truth. That's what I heard you say.
No, and I'm not trying to say that in some quasi like new agey, like let's go to a Grateful Dead concert kind of a way. I'm saying
Rob Bell, everybody.
There's a reason why somebody's feeling that way. So instead of just saying that's not true, can we move on? It's like, well, let's find out why it's feeling true for you.
No, yeah. I understood what you were saying. It's just the way that you said it was sounded strikingly close to, well, that's true for you. Like, oh, good. It's 1997 again. Fun.
I mean, guys, don't give me the benefit of the doubt. It's cool. We've only been doing this for 5 years. So, you know,
why would we assume that Ronnie is wise and understanding people when we could make fun of him instead?
Dude, you know what's my biggest fear is, boys? My biggest fear is that this Enneagram is going to come and go and we're not going to capitalize on it at all financially. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like literally every middle-aged white person in Christendom has already capitalized on this thing financially and made a buck off the Enneagram. And when are we going to do it, doggone it? And how? Lead me. I want to be led in this.
The only way you can do it is becoming a certified like Enneagram like
who certifies you?
Consultationist.
Yeah, this thing has existed for like 20 minutes. Who's doing the certifying?
What is the certification? This is like when Jeep calls their own cars trail rated. Well, you gave yourself a designation. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then you can walk around wearing like the trail rated t-shirt after that. Yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't last until lunch on day one of one of these Enneagram certification seminars without like gouging my eyes out with a fork.
I think you dig it, man. I'm not kidding. I think you dig it.
I don't know.
I think you dig it, T. I know what you're thinking, but like think the other thing that you could be thinking, and that's what I think you'd be thinking.
Maybe I think it would depend who is teaching it. You know what I mean?
100 for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I tried to listen to an Enneagram podcast one time and I like hated everything for the rest of the day. It was too much. It was too much feelings.
Yeah, those things can be a little janky, but I think like I've done some of the Enneagram like training stuff, and if you get the right guy, it is like totally gripping. It's really fascinating. And that's not even my thing, boys. Yeah. Like I'm not really that guy, but like it just totally gripped me and I was like, "Wow, that's interesting."
When are you going to get certified as an Enneagram trainer? And then we can monetize this thing together.
He can do it while we're podcasting. Just take a crayon and write it on some paper. I am Enneagram certified. It's like Ron Swanson's note that says I can do whatever I want. That's
well,
Ron's certification.
I've been doing that the last 15 minutes on the pod technically. So yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's just that you've had enough, you've gone to enough of these like certification webinar things that you're like, okay, I can cohesively speak and teach through the Enneagram. That's all it is.
Maybe let's start a Zoom podcast about the Enneagram and open it with some nice like pan flute music and call it. Let's scrap this movie thing and let's do a hard pivot into the Ennie.
I already have the title. I'm going to call it the Enneagram because I want to play some Enya.
Oh yeah, a little like that song from Far and Away.
Yes,
by Enya. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Dude, that song was dope and also like the 90s-est thing ever.
Yeah, no, it was dope. But yeah, I want to do the Enneagram for sure.
The Enneagram. Dude, I wonder what she's doing now, Enya. You know what I mean? Is she making any new music?
And by new, you mean the same one song that she's recorded over the 12 albums? Yeah, I think she's still
totally
doing it.
I'm here for that song, though.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Ted. In fact, we're in a time of crisis. We should be hearing a new Enya song, you know, drop for the world anytime now.
Dude, we should. We need that, man. We need Enneagram. Dude, she could do that. She can soundtrack our Enneagram conference. 100%. She could do the official like album release of our conference.
I'm looking up Enya right now to see what she's up to, man.
Dude, please do. Yeah, let me know.
Yeah,
go on. Piper, are you familiar with
like Enya? I feel like Enya might actually be like an amalgamation of different computer geeks who put together music, and like Enya's not a real person.
That could be true.
Enya's definitely a real person. I want to believe it.
She is. I'm looking at her right now.
Really?
She broke her
everything,
silence.
Ronald.
She broke her silence in 2015, but nobody's heard a peep since.
Oh, so. What was she being silent about?
I don't know.
It makes me sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Sure.
Crazy.
Ted, well, what personality type is the hardest for you to get along with, connect with, understand, resonate with, etc.?
Tell us.
Dude, honestly, I think ones, like perfectionists, because they're always talking about how they're perfectionists and how type A they are. And I don't know. I feel like if they would just dial back the type A talk a little bit, it would be a lot easier for me. You know what I mean? It's like, we get it. You're type A, you're motivated. I get it. I see your planner. You know, it's very impressive. Can we just get past it? I think ones are the toughest for me.
Perfectionist. Tough one.
Yeah, perfectionist. Because we live in such an imperfect world, right?
Yeah, like, there's no such thing.
It's not going to be perfect, you know. And not that I don't like ones. Like, I've gotten along swimmingly with a lot of ones. I have trouble getting deep with them, I guess. You know what I mean? I have trouble, like, going to a really authentic place, I guess, with ones.
Well, the other thing about ones, too, is that they're kind of known for being rule followers. So does that kind of drive you a little batty?
It drives me a little batty.
Staying status quo, you know?
Yeah, if I think a rule is stupid, I just don't follow it. So
this is why we're terrible for each other.
why is that?
Because I'm the exact same way. Like, if I look at a rule and I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense, then it doesn't exist. It's just, that's a suggestion by somebody
who drives my wife nuts, because she is a rule follower.
Same with mine.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady, and like, she wants to do the right thing. And
she is your living present conscience is what she is.
Dude, she really is, man. God bless her. So she plays a very important role.
So I'm engaged to a one, and I've discovered something. So my impression of ones was that they're like perfectionists for everybody else, you know. Uh-huh. So they're kind of telling everybody else how things should work.
Yeah.
But I've come to realize, I think it's more that they are never satisfied with their own work. So there's always a sense of like, I could have done. So if they make a cake or they make dinner for everybody or whatever, and it's everybody's just raving about how good it is, they're focusing on the one thing they could have done better. You know, the potatoes weren't creamy enough, or when I decorated the cake, the flour wasn't right, or whatever. And so it's always a self-focused thing, and that can project out. Or if they're in charge of something, it can be a little bit high strung. But yeah, definitely rule follower as well, which I have very mixed feelings about, because I'm not one, but it's very beneficial to have somebody who's like, no, you should really follow the rules on this one.
They just rein you in.
Yeah, they do. They rein you in. That's a good thing.
Which is not a bad thing, because it's like, I can't tell you how many times Big M has been like, just don't say that. And I'm like, well, I just don't care. And she's like, but you should care on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she'll explain it to me. I pull back, you know, a minute later, I look at her, I go, oh, there it is. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's nice.
It's
nice to have somebody that puts that's reading the manual. That's what I like to call it, because I don't read the manual. It's just not who I am, you know.
Baby, what's Jared's personality type?
Is he three? There has to be a lot of three in him. I have no idea. Maybe a 4-3.
Oh,
three,
get four. Out of here. You guys have talked about this ad nauseum.
I've never talked to Jared C about any. About the Enneagram.
Are you even real friends?
Yeah, seriously. Are you even like massaging his shoulders right now?
Guys, I don't know. We haven't gotten to the beach with the khakis yet. I don't know how good of friends we are yet. But that's still under, you know.
Are you even quarantining together?
I mean, not yet. Exactly.
This puts everything into question for me. I don't know what to believe anymore, Piper. It's very hard.
Very disappointing.
Boys, are we wrapping this up so that we can do that other little bonus up thing?
Yeah, let's wrap this one. I think we've done enough complaining about the Enneagram, and we have some plotting to do on how to get rich off of it. Although I wrote myself a certificate that said I was certified, so I've taken a big first step.
Awesome.
Dude, can we use the word coach too? Enneagram coach.
Yes.
Barnabas Piper.
I think Ronnie is like, he's already next level, because he keeps using the words like resourceful and non-resourceful, which I haven't incorporated into my vocabulary for this realm. So he's clearly leg up on the two of us, Ted. We have some catching up to do.
Dude, Ronnie's more of a guru. He's at like Enneagram guru level, like with a beard. And you're a coach, Piper, because you're an eight. You know, you're more of a coach type. So we can make money off both of you, though. And
Could you be like an Enneagram memoirist?
I could write their stories, write your pain, you know. I'll be that guy. I'll be the archivist, the memoirist, and Dude, all kidding aside, I had this student, this really funny student my first year or two as a professor, and we had this thing where, like, we would write people a chapter of a romance novel. Like, we had a questionnaire we would give them, and then we would write them, like, a chapter of a romance novel, and it was always... It was always really funny. And
how did you do that without getting, like, Me Too'd to death?
Well, we would just do it for, like, guys. Like, guys okay. that wanted to laugh, basically. Gotcha. So guys who were, like, unlucky in love. And in our narratives, they would always be, like, blacksmiths or, like, you know, horsemen or all the tropes.
Yeah, do we still have horsemen?
Something right. Yeah,
no, I don't think we have horsemen.
I mean, anymore, Vladimir Putin's sort of a horseman. It's like his favorite thing. So, yeah.
There were always
I want to grow up and be a horseman.
Nobody sets a romance novel in, like, modern day, though. They were always, like, you know, frontiersmen. But anyway, boys, we are new radio frontiersmen in that we are closing our homes, yet we are still bringing this product to you multiple times a week now. I think it's safe to say multiple times a week. We've done what we always do, boys, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout the Enneagram. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey there, it's Nicole Eunice from the How to Study the Bible podcast, and I'd love to invite you to join us as we weekly discover a passage of God's Word together. From beginning to end, from principles to practicals, we are here to make sure that God's Word is powerful and relevant to your life. If that sounds like something you're looking for, I would love to invite you to subscribe. You can go to lifeaudio.com and search How to Study the Bible, and we'll see you there.